Hello, gentlemen, barbarians, savages. It's a Rooster here. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the mainstream media and how the mainstream media is really just a puppet for large corporations in the United States. Back in the 80s, Noam Chomsky wrote a great book called Manufacturing Consent, and he talked about the mainstream media and how it had changed over the years, and how it's really come to a head, especially around election time, and how it's differentiated itself over the years and become a kind of a right-left thing. You know, you have CNN that's supposedly left, you have CSNBC, which is supposedly left, and you have Fox News, which is supposedly on the right. But the real story is that they're gaming us all around. There's really two ways that the mainstream media controls the population in the United States. And controls the message that the majority of the people receive. The first way is through ownership, and the second way is through the propaganda model, which is something that Noam Chomsky describes greatly in his book, Manufacturing Consent. So let me talk about the first obvious way that the mainstream media controls the message that the population receives, and that's through ownership. A lot of people don't realize that all of the news, 95% of the news that you receive through television, radio, newspaper, is controlled by six companies. Okay? Every single avenue of delivery to the population is controlled by six companies. I'm going to tell you what these six companies are so you can get an understanding. Comcast is the first one, subsidiary of General Electric. They own MSNBC, Telemundo, completely outright. The second one is Disney. Disney owns all of ABC and all of their affiliates, including ESPN. Then you have Viacom. Then the fourth one is News Corp. News Corp owns Fox News, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times, and many other newspapers. The fifth one is CBS. CBS owns CBS News. And the sixth one is Time Warner. And Time Warner controls or owns CNN. So those six companies control all the information coming to you, newsworthy information coming to you through your television, your radio, and your newspapers. Okay? You think, well, you know, six companies, you know, that's enough companies, you know, that you're going to get a variation, you know, that's enough choices for me or whatever. Well, when you break it down and you look at the people that are on these the board of directors and the CEOs of these six companies, there's 118 people, just over 100 people, 118 people that are on the board of directors and control these six companies. Now, 118 people, are those, do you think that those 118 people are homeless? Do you think that they're veterans? Do you think they ever served in the military? Do you think that they are poor in any way? You think they live in a trailer? Think that they're retired? Do you think that they're any way in the bottom 20% of our society? No. Are they in the bottom 40%? No. Bottom 50%? No. They're not even in the bottom 80%. Every single one of these people is, at the very least, a multimillionaire. So, the information that they're wanting to put out there is millionaire information. There's been a lot of talks where you have reporters and stuff like that. If you ever seen the show The Newsroom, it's a great show that used to be on HBO about a guy who tried to fight the corporate hierarchy and get the news that he wanted to put out there, the news that was real news. And the famous line that comes out of there is, listen, the news is what we say the news is. The news is what the advertisers want the news to be. Okay, so that's one. One is their own company, Disney, Comcast, Viacom, whatever. The news is what we say the news is. And the other one is, the news is what the advertisers want the news to be. Now, those 118 people, they're not just on the board of directors for Comcast, Disney, Viacom, News Corp, CBS, and Time Warner. You can be on more than one board, corporate board. You know, you can probably only be the CEO of one company, but you can be on more than one board. Let me tell you, these 118 people that are controlling what comes through your television, let me tell you some of the other board of directors that these same 118 people are on. Monsanto, Philip Morris, BP, Citigroup, Exxon, Walmart, General Dynamics, Lockheed Martin, Boeing. Okay? Those sound like some pretty big companies? Yeah. So the information that they put out, you think it's going to be disadvantageous to any of those companies? No. If I own CBS and I'm also on the board of directors for Monsanto, do you think I'm going to put anything negative on television about Monsanto? No. Do you think I'm ever going to put anything negative about CBS on? No. So my point is, they're controlling the information for them, and we need to understand that. And they do that by ownership. How do they control it? You ask the question, how do they control the media? How does Walmart control its employees? It's easy. They own the media. That's how they control it. And what kind of point of view is going to come out of that kind of ownership? The elite view or the elite perception of reality. And they're going to work to exclude dissension. If poor people or the Green Party or anything that's against any kind of corporate culture or big business tries to get into this area, their dissent is going to be marginalized. They're going to be eliminated. Now, there is some stuff. I mean, you can get on PBS. You can go to RT. You can try the Young Turks to get some alternative media, but it's really hard to find. The best way that I have found is to go onto YouTube or go onto the internet and look for alternative media sources. And you can find out all kinds of stuff that's being hidden by the mainstream media. Okay? So that's the ownership. That's how they control it from that standpoint. The news people that are talking to you on TV, they look so honest and they look like they're telling you the truth. Just remember, they're just puppets. And the guy who owns the company up top is telling them what to say. Hey, say this. Monsanto is good. Philip Morris makes the best cigarettes. Cigarettes are good for you. BP oil spill. Hey, come on down to Louisiana and let's go fishing for some one-eyed flounder, because that oil is just an illusion. It's not really there. Okay? That's what, when you're looking at the television, that's what you should be thinking in the back of your head, is what is the guy that owns this company wanting me to hear, and what am I actually hearing? They're probably the same. Okay, so ownership is one way. The second way that I said is the propaganda model. Now, this is how the propaganda model works. It's a 20-80 separation, and chances are, if you're watching this video, you're part of the 20%, which is good. You're part of the political class. You're part of the information class. You're a voter who is seeking information, who's out there. You're a participant, and your indoctrination into this propaganda is crucial for them. By you watching this video right here, you're not being indoctrinated. You're being de-indoctrinated. You're getting the truth. But remember, you're the 20% whose indoctrination is the most important for these six big companies. They need you to play along. And the reason that they need you to play along is one reason. You have time on your hands. If you're watching this video, I guarantee you got time on your hands. I'm making this video. I'm retired. I'm not running around chasing kids. I'm not spending my ass working 10 to 12 hours a day trying to bring a check home to pay. My shit's paid off. I got as much time, leisure time on my hands as I want. I can go fishing or hunting or sit in a hammock and take a nap instead of doing this video. And if you're watching this video, chances are you're probably one of those people too. Remember, you're one of the key people that they need indoctrinated, so don't get indoctrinated. The other 80% of the American people are just what I described. They're 25 to 55. They're working 8 hours a day. They're at the office. They're in a truck. They're at Subway making sandwiches. They're working their ass off. They don't have time to even think about the propaganda model. They just turn on the news when they get home, grab a beer, watch CNN for half an hour to find out what's going on, and they don't have time to think about whether it's being filtered, whether it's being censored, or any of that stuff. And these people in the propaganda model, this 80%, they need to follow orders, they need to not think, and they need to not pay too much attention. And that's what makes it easy for these companies to do this. They don't really think in depth about the information that they're getting. They just take it at face value. Oh! We bombed, you know, we're over there bombing Syria because we want to get the president of Syria out of there. Nobody thinks in depth about it. Well, didn't we arm all of the rebels initially that caused this problem? And didn't we initially start this war because so-and-so was dumping gas on his own people, and now we want to team up with him and fight the rebels? And before we were on the rebel side and given, you know, people don't think too in depth about it. They just turn around and they say, oh, bombing in Syria. Oh, okay. So when you're manufacturing consent through the masses, these two groups of people are very, very, very necessary. And if you can be, try to be in the political class, try to be in the participants class, and try to not be indoctrinated by them and think critically about what you see on TV, reading the newspaper and such, here on the radio. Okay? The other part of the propaganda model is the media agenda and making sure that you have control over that agenda. And the elite owners need to set that agenda, and the way, and they need to control that agenda so that nothing gets out of there. If you've been watching Donald Trump and this election that's coming up, you can see what happens when an elite person who they don't have control over starts saying what's on his mind. Oh, we're going to ban all Muslims. We're going to build a wall 50 feet high. You're never going to hear someone who's in the propaganda model saying that. Trump is outside of the propaganda model. And that's someone who they don't have any control over him. The guy's a multimillionaire. He owns his own businesses. He is part of the power elite. And they don't have any control over the guy. Now, if you're just Joe Blow, you know, Joe blue-collar worker that owns a radio station, they have control over you because they write your paycheck. And that's what you use to feed your kids. They don't have any control over Trump. So he's coloring outside the lines. And he's getting away with it. And people are loving it because they haven't seen this in years. You haven't seen this. I can't even remember the last person I saw on TV that says this outrageous stuff. And people are just eating it up. They're loving it. But the fundamental ways that they do this, there's three ways. Sound bites, boundaries of debate, and setting a narrative or framing the arguments. Okay, you try to frame the argument with Trump. Here's the framework that, here's the area where we're going to allow people to talk. Okay, so Hillary Clinton's going to be in there, Barry Sanders, they're going to stay inside the lines. They're going to be, oh, well, we need a path to citizenship, and we need to enforce ISIS, or we need to enforce the ICE police, you know, and we need to increase deportation, stuff like that. All of those are politically correct. Trump comes in, what's he say? Let's just ban them. Let's just build a wall. Let's just build a wall 50 feet high, and when we catch them, we're just going to deport them and send them back. And oh, by the way, all the ones that are here right now, we're going to catch them and send them back too. Whoa! You're outside the narrative, buddy. You can't say stuff like that. And Trump says, why can't I? You don't own me. You can't make me do anything. I'm a millionaire. So that's kind of the way to look at this. And I know that's very right now. Everybody knows what sound bites are. I don't even need to talk about them. One sentence things, you know. Dog bites man, dog bites man, dog bites man, you know. Simple things to remember for the 80% so that they can follow the orders, so that they don't have to think, so that they don't have to pay attention. You know, Bernie Sanders is a socialist. Socialist, 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 socialist. And that's all that everybody gets in their head is that soundbite, is that he's a socialist. Bernie Sanders is actually a social democrat, which is, he's a far left liberal, but he's not a socialist. Bernie Sanders, you know, doesn't want to go into Marxism and that and everything, but that's what you hear. What other sound bites are out there that you hear a lot? Trying to think. Can't remember any right now. And then boundaries of debate. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about because this is a really big deal. Boundaries of debate are what we use, or what the corporate media uses, the mainstream media uses, to give you the illusion of choice. And I'm gonna give you a metaphor that's gonna make it very, very clear to you. You got a little kid, you want him to go to bed, doesn't want to go to bed. So what do? You give the kid an illusion of choice. Okay, Jimmy, you can either read a book and then go to bed, or you can listen to a CD and then go to bed. The little kid who's 6 or 7 years old thinks this is a great idea because he thinks that he's making a choice. But remember, the last three words in both of those sentences are exactly the same. Go to bed. That's what I want. I want the kid to go to bed. So he thinks he's getting a choice. Oh, wow. I can either listen to a CD or I can read a book. So he goes off and does one or two of those things. He follows orders. You know, he doesn't think too much about it. He doesn't pay attention. The next thing you know, his book is done. And you say, okay, your book's done. Okay, go to bed. That's the same thing that we have in our political system right now, Republican or Democrat. Okay, you can either vote for a Republican or you can vote for a Democrat. Well, what if I don't want to vote for a Republican? What if I want to vote for a Libertarian? Oh, yeah, you can vote for a Libertarian, too. Classically, they get 5% of the vote. You can vote for the Green Party. Classically, they get 1%. So neither one of them is going to win. And oh, by the way, the RNC and the DNC, the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, control all of the money, all of the media time. And if you're in any of those other two lesser parties, you're not going to get any equal time. You're not going to get anything, right? So you basically have a choice of Democrat or Republican. And it's just like the little kid going to bed. I pick Democrat or Republican, and then I'm done with my vote. And it gives me this illusion that I've actually done something for me, but I haven't really done anything at all. Okay? So, that's it. That's the mainstream media. That's the way that you can describe it. I'll summarize here really quick. One of the ways that they control it, how they control it, is through ownership. The second way that they control it is through the propaganda model. And the propaganda model consists of manufacturing the consent of the 80% and indoctrinating the 20% so that they understand, and making sure that the media, the elite media, gets to set the agenda through narrative, through boundaries of debate, and through using sound bites. Okay? That's all I have. Thanks a lot for listening. If you have any questions or anything like that, I don't care, because I'm the elite. I'm going to snuff you out anyways. No, I do care. Put it down in the comment section. I love to hear dissent. I love to hear any add-ons to this. If you don't agree with me, if you don't think that's the way that it works, feel free. And as always, take it easy.